we appreciate it. Open your Bible now at this time as we continue in our series of the Gospel of John, chapter 18. We are now going to be addressing the second and third betrayal of the Apostle Peter. Very sobering time in the life of Peter. This, no doubt, was a traumatic experience in his life when he had so much confidence and was so sure of his love and commitment and loyalty to his Lord, only to find out when that time came, he let him down. And we had a lot to learn from this. We were in John 18. We did the first denial. We're going to review that real quickly. Then we're going to look at the one, number two and three, in three short verses. But we're going to bring the other Gospels in to help give it a full picture for us to really learn from. Let's begin in verse 15 to 18, then we'll jump to verse 25. These are the betrayals. Simon Peter, verse 15, followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest and went to Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door outside. Then the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the servant and officers who had made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Verse 25. Now Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore they said to him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter then denied again, and immediately the rooster crowed. Let's pray. Father, be with us tonight as we look at the tragic event of Peter's denial. Denial of being with him, associated with him, or even knowing him. Pretty profound denials. For a lot of different reasons, maybe. Fear of man. Spiritually unprepared. Slumbered instead of praying in the garden. There are so many factors that could have led to this denial. Certainly, pride and overconfidence was there. The Lord help us to, as we look into this sad event, let it not be even once thought of in our hearts that we would not do that. That could not possibly happen to me. And the Lord help us to learn from Peter's mistake, from his fall, from his declension. And so, Lord, we pray for learning, growing, and instruction for your glory. In Christ's name, amen. Well, when you come to the final days of our Lord, especially after he left the upper room and started heading to the garden and on, all four of the Gospels played a major role in here. And so what I am going to do is work through and weave to composite picture, and I'll be reading the small section of John and a more full blended version of all of them together to get the composite so we can finally and fully understand what had happened and to the extent of his denial. And so not only is Peter's denial recorded in John 18, it's recorded in Matthew 26, Luke 22, and Mark chapter 14. So what we have now, after the arrest of Jesus, they send him to Annas' house to begin the first proceeding to the trial. After that, we look at verse 24. They sent him to Caiaphas' place, and in between was the setting for Peter's first denial, which is what we had just read in verses 15 through 18. By way of review, it says here that John writes, Simon Peter followed Jesus and so did another disciple. None of the other gospels brings in that second disciple. We don't know who it is. Many believe it's John. It doesn't matter. Somehow, some way, that disciple knew the high priest and also knew Peter. So we see that the disciple who was with Peter was not named, and whoever it was, he was known by the high priest. Peter waited until another disciple was able to vouch for Peter. So he is outside of the courtyard, waiting to come into the courtyard. And the way it's setting up, and I'll give you more details next week, but there's this huge courtyard between two houses. One house is Annas, the other one is Caiaphas. And they're going back and forth with Jesus. Chances are, Peter probably could have seen Jesus in the window. This is significant because of what happened later on in the denial. But anyway, we have here, he's outside, and he can't even come into the courtyard without that other disciple vouching for Peter to go. And there we see Peter waited until the other disciple was able to vouch for him, and he too can come into the courtyard. Then in verse 17, a slave girl noticed Peter. Something caught her attention about him. And she, the one who asked him the question, you are not also one of this man's disciples, are you? And here we have the first denial. I am not. Get short to the point and straight to the point. It is interesting when you look at the other gospels, in Luke's account, it said, woman, I do not know him. More expanded there, okay? Mark's account, it said, I neither know nor understand what you are saying. So he's trying to play the game of, well, I don't know what business you're talking about. I don't know him. I don't know what you're talking about. And in Matthew's case, which brings out something. Now, if you did read John, you get the impression that the discussion is between just him and this slave girl. But when you read Matthew's account, it said, and he denied it before them all. So all the soldiers and everybody that was there by this fire heard what he said. That was the extent of his first denial. And I simply made a note here. Now, Peter now begins his descent with his first denial. But before we move to his second denial, a very significant thing happened in between denial one and denial two, and you cannot pick it up unless you do a chronological study of this event. And we get that out of Mark's account. It is recorded in Mark chapter 14, verse 68, and it said, but he denied it, saying, I neither know nor understand what you are saying. And he went out on the porch and a rooster crowed. Significant. Jesus said, you're going to deny me, but it won't happen until after the rooster crowed twice. Here we have a significant event where the first crow came out of Mark. Here Peter should have heard the first crow of the rooster. Peter should have remembered the words of the Lord at this moment, because earlier in Mark, it said, Jesus said to him, surely I say to you today, even this night before the rooster crowed twice, you'll deny me three times. So we have here, by the time you get to verse 68, he goes out on the porch in the background did the rooster crow. This should have been Peter's wake-up call. Peter should have caught it, but he didn't. He was distracted. He would, you can fill in the blank. We don't have a textual answer for it, but we know human nature, fearful, afraid, weak. And yet, before we move on, we get John, one last statement in verse 18 that interrupts the story of Peter's denial, to report on some of the events that were happening in the courtyard and Jesus' trial. So what we have here, when we look at what we dealt with the last week and this week, it's almost like a TV series where you're seeing the scene with Peter. He gets his first denial, and before you hear anything more, we're shifting over to Jesus standing before Annas. And then as soon as that is done and he's ready to transfer him over to Caiaphas, we're back to Peter for denial 2 and 3 in John's account. And so that's what we have here. It, now the servants and the officers made a fire and stood there and warmed themselves because it was cold. And Peter drew near and warmed himself. Why is he staying so close? Don't know. Maybe he had realized that he needed to stay close to show some semblance of loyalty. Whatever the case is, we don't know. But in denial number 2, in John, all we have is one verse, verse 25. Now Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore, notice the plural, they said to him, "You're not also one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." Now, if that's all you got, it's almost like a repeat of denial number 1. But now I'm going to read the blended version where I have all 4 gospels blended, saying the story, filling all the details with no repeat to show you the extent of the conversation. I'm going to read it and then I'm going to break it down. It reads as follows. After a little while, when Peter had gone out to the gateway, the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, "This is one of them." Another girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth." And another saw him and said, "You are one of them." Now Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore they said to him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" But Peter denied it again. That's the denial number 2. With an oath and said, "Man, I am not, and I do not know this man." That is the extent of denial number 2. So I'll break it down. So we have not just simply a girl. We have several servants and then a group. And they posed the question like this. After a little time or a little while, Peter had gone out to the gateway. A servant girl saw him again. Began to say to those who stood by, "This is one of them." That's the first one. The next one was another girl, a different girl, who saw him and said, "Those who were there." She's now speaking out loud. "This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth." Then another one saw him and said, "You also are of them." And here in John's account, which we've already read a couple times, "No, I'm not." And so in the faith of question, he got questioned not by Roman guards or Jewish authority that was using their power of authority over him. It was slaves that got him to deny the Lord. The faith of the question came from lowly slaves, not Roman governors or Jewish authority. So here's the full record of his denial. First of all, Mark recorded in denial number two, he denied it again. That's sad words. Again. Shouldn't have happened the first time, but again. And now he's denying it with an oath. Instead, man, I am not. I am not one of them. I'm not with him. And then in Matthew's account, he said, I do not know the man. Then the group addressed him and said, are you not also one of them, are you? So his full denial was with an oath, I am not, I do not know the man. Here Peter denied any association or even knowing his Lord. He didn't want to associate with him, and he denied even knowing him. We see here that Peter's denial is clear and emphatic, and he did it with an oath. I promise you, with God as my witness, I'm not with this group. Pretty sad. An oath is a promise. I promise, I swear, I'm telling the truth. I promise that I'm not one of them. I don't know this man. That's denial number two. Denial number three is found in the next two verses in our record in John. Verse 26 and 7. Look at it with me, please. One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said, did I not see you in the garden with him? Peter then denied again. And immediately a rooster crowed. Blended version to get the composite full picture. Do you understand? They're not one after another. After a little time, it was between one and two. Here we have up to about an hour between two and three. The blended version read, a little later, after about an hour had passed, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it and betrays you. Another confidently affirmed, saying, surely this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. And one of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said, did I not see you in the garden with him? Then he denied again and began to curse and to swear. Man, I do not know what you are saying. I do not know this man. So, a little later, about an hour had passed. So we have those. Now we got the group stood before him and said, hey, surely you're all one of them. Because your dialect betraying you, your speech exposed you. Then another one in Luke's account said, another confidently affirmed, saying, surely this fellow also was with him, for he's a Galilean. Look at him. Walked, talked, and acted like a Galilean. He had to be one of them. And then, of course, we know about the relative of the one who, servant of the high priest, had his, Peter cut off his ear. So we have about an hour later the third denial, where he denied again. We see it recorded the second time. Denied again. And he began to curse and swear. The idea of the word curse would mean to invoke, God is my witness and God will judge me if I'm not telling you the truth. That's what the curse was. He wasn't cussing. He was asking a curse to be put on him to show the emphaticness of that I don't know this guy and I'm not part of this group. How many times will we knowingly lie when we were younger to, oh, I swear to you on this or that or whatever. I'm telling you the truth. That's not the case. Peter here, it invoking God to curse him if he was lying. to swear with the idea to invoke a higher authority or to witness the sincerity of his statement. And the Greek tense of this, that he repeatedly said it over and over, I'm not with him, I don't know him, over and over. So he would go saying it repeatedly over and over to try to convince everyone that he was not associated with Jesus. Then John's account, we have more evidence against Peter that is incriminating. Everything else was based on hearsay, your dialect, this and that and the other. Now we have some really incriminating evidence. That's found in our text in John. Look at verse 26 again. One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said, did I not see you there? That would call an eyewitness. That is an eyewitness. He is there. Surely he can probably remember, aren't you the man trying to lop the my cousin or relative's ear? You know that had to be convicting at that moment. No wonder why he responded that way. And as providence would be, God is sovereign in the minutest details. I believe he was sovereign when the first rooster crowed. He certainly was in this one. Look at the first part. Look at John, the second half, and excuse me, the first part of John, verse 27. Peter then denied again, and immediately a rooster crowed. Not the second. Wow. Blended version of this, putting the story together. Immediately while he was still speaking, while he was very, I don't know him, I don't know him, I'm telling you, I don't know him. I don't want to try to do the rooster's call, but anyway, you get the point. The rooster crowed, marked the count, second time. And it was at that very moment, John did not record it, Luke does. It said this, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Didn't say a word. He simply looked at Peter. I believe that would either he either saw him in the window while he was being interrogated, or it was, if you look at verse 24, before we go into denial 2 and 3, then Anna sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. He may be in transition from Anna's house to the courtyard to Caiaphas' house. And that's probably where Jesus saw him and locked eyes. Turned and looked at Peter. It was, you talk about a moment of waking up. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said to him, before the rooster crows twice, you'll deny me three times. And he began to think about it. Peter went out and wept bitterly. Bitterly, profoundly. Oh, that look. You can imagine, said nothing. What did I do to deserve your denials? You wonder what was going on in Peter's mind. He was in the wrong. He was the one who denied. He's the one who denied association and denied knowledge of him, knowing him. Oh, that look, the look of grief and pain as well as love. At this moment, Peter's life was shattered. You know as well as I do, we who have from time to time yielded to temptations and questioned and doubted our assurance, you can imagine how Peter felt at this moment. He went out and wept bitterly, his heart being filled with genuine regret for what he had done. Can you imagine Peter going from Matthew 16, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," to "I don't know him"? That's a massive gap. It can happen to the best of us. Don't think it can't. Don't think it can. It can happen to the best. It can happen to any one of us. All you have to do is put in an unprepared place, situation. What do I mean by unprepared? One of the things that the Lord criticized the disciples, instead of sleeping, you should have been praying. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Within hours, we have this. Peter, who went from "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," to "I don't know you." What are we to learn from this, beloved? What does this teach us? Number one, it teaches us something dark. Something that we do not want to see or face in the human heart. We should see the degree of weakness that may be found in any real Christian. J.T. Ryle said it this way. Listen to these profound words. Good insight. Quote, "We see the famous disciple forsaking his master and acting like a coward, running away when he ought to have stood by his side, ashamed to own him when he ought to have confessed him, and finally denying three times that he knew him. And this takes place immediately after receiving the Lord's Supper, after hearing the most touching sermon and prayer ever heard by mortal man." You think of the message he gave them in the upper room and the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, not to mention at the end of the upper room. And then after the plainest possible warning, under the pressure of no serious temptation, nobody twisted him. He turned and went coward. This showed what a person is capable of doing, even after making a glorious confession, even after swearing allegiance to Jesus, "I'll lay down my life for you." That night he said it in John 13. So one lesson we need to learn from this is 1 Corinthians 10:12. "Therefore to him who thinks he stands, take heed, lest he fall." 1 Corinthians 10:12. This fall of Peter is a lesson to show the danger of pride and self-confidence, depending upon the effort of the flesh instead of leaning on the power of the Spirit of God to work in and through. One commentator said one line like this, and I couldn't resist it. That, "Oh, beloved, let it remember Peter and be wise and humble." R.T. Sproul said there's another lesson we can learn. Let me read the quote, then I'll bring it home. R.T. Sproul said this, "The passage also teaches it, especially in the light of Peter's later restoration." That's what we're keying off of. Now, Sproul is looking at this shattering moment, and he's looking ahead to when Jesus restored Peter later. He said these words, "Especially in the light of Peter's later restoration, what kind of people Jesus died to save? He had no need to die for people who are sinless, for there are no such people. He gave himself for people who have it in them to betray him, people like you and me. However, listen to this. He will never betray those on whom he sets his love on and will love them faithfully for all time. We may, can, and probably already have from time to time, whether in heart or in reality, denied him for whatever reason. He will never do that for us. We are not faithful. He is perfectly faithful. So let be encouraged. Yes, powerful moment. Sad. Tragic. We like good endings. But in the reality, for sinners, this does have a good ending with the restoration. The restoration is so beautiful that he becomes the spokesman to preach the first sermon in the church in Acts chapter 2. And the explosion happened. Peter sure had a lot to say regarding that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the lesson that we have here. We pray for ourselves. Father, help us to take heed lest we fall. May we draw close to you, draw from your strength, put on your armor, lean on the Spirit that you have given to us. All night long you have told the disciples that night that they must abide in him and abide in the Spirit. Because truthfully, beloved, we cannot abide, we can do nothing without him. And Peter proved it. Oh, Father, we see in Judas' case a pure, raw, unadulterated betrayal coming from an unconverted heart. Here in Peter, we see weakness. Though he fell. He plummeted deep. Yet in your love, and you restored him later. It left a profound mark upon him. Oh, Father, we pray that you help us to never question your loyalty and your faithfulness, and help us to be true and faithful to you. In Christ's name, amen.